This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
We don't need anything more than Jesus. We don't have to do anything other than what Jesus has already done for us. We don't need to add anything besides Jesus to make our lives complete, to make our souls whole. Jesus is enough. If we have Jesus, we have everything we need.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message titled, A Genuine Testimony.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We begin a study of a new book today, 1 John. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Where we learn that God's salvation through Jesus Christ is absolute. It's absolute in its certainty. It's absolute in its provision. It's absolute in the future that it guarantees. That every person who is united to Jesus Christ through faith receives salvation, regardless of what we've done in the past, regardless of the depth of our sins, the number of our sins, that Jesus Christ sufficiently provides forgiveness. He provides right standing. He provides eternal life, a real relationship with God. And so let's open up the Bible together as we exult in the great salvation that God has brought to us through His Son, Jesus Christ.
A few weeks ago, my son Danny, who lives in New Jersey, and I were FaceTiming together. What a marvel modern technology brings. And as we were talking, we both had the same football game on our TVs. And occasionally, Danny would ask me, hey, did you see that play, Dad? And so from 1,000 miles away, we were able to enjoy a football game together. And in the course of our conversation then, I said, Danny, I would bet you $100 that on the next play, the quarterback is going to throw a 30-yard touchdown pass. Well, Danny knows that I don't gamble on anything, and so he caught on really quickly. You see, the video feed of the game was coming to me about 60 to 90 seconds before it came to him. So when I asked for that bet, I'd already seen the quarterback throw the 30-yard touchdown pass. My offer to put $100 on that next play was what one might call a sure thing, a sure thing. The play had already happened. There was not any probability or even possibility that when Danny saw that play, he would see something different than what I saw. By the way, to ease your minds, again, I knew Danny would not accept that bet on his own principle's sake. Danny does not bet either. And if he had accepted the bet, I would have told him and then lectured him about what the Bible says. Today we begin a series in 1 John. It's entitled, Sure Thing, Sure Thing. The salvation that God offers us in Jesus is not a thing of possibility, not even a thing of probability. It is a thing of certainty. It's an absolute. God's salvation through Jesus is an absolute certainty. Everyone who is united to Christ through faith has a 100% certainty of standing before God, accepted by Him, of inheriting the blessing that is merited by Jesus. No one person who is united to Jesus through faith will ever lose that inheritance. Once adopted into God's family, we are God's children permanently. When we begin a study of a book of the Bible, it helps to know why the book was written. It helps to know its purpose. Every book in the Bible has a specific purpose. In the case of 1 John, the purpose has been stated very clearly in chapter 5. If you turn over there to chapter 5, verse 13, John tells us, now again, there are some sub-purposes, and we'll discover those through our study, but for today, the big purpose, which John is explaining of the writing for this letter is, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. That salvation for you might be a sure thing. It might not be a maybe thing, but that God's salvation, the gift of eternal life for you who believe in the name of Jesus, would be a sure thing. One of the joyful blessings that God offers his children to experience throughout our lives is the blessing of assurance. God talks to his children in a way that helps us feel secure in his love for us. Now, some who are rescued from their sin do not feel secure. They don't feel saved. And indeed, some who feel secure, who feel saved from their sin, are not truly saved. One subjective feeling of assurance does not negate or affirm a person's right relationship with God. 1 John is written to help us, again, know, to understand whether we have a right relationship with God or not. So John writes this letter to those who believe in Jesus so that we would know we are safe in Jesus. And what a gift this letter is. Assurance is a gift, and security is a gift. And this letter presents that hope, that promise to us. When my father-in-law was in the army, he was told that he was going to be deployed to fight in Vietnam. At that time, he was a member of the Eastern Orthodox Church, grew up in a religious family, and that he knew that there was a high possibility that he would die over there. And so he went to talk with a priest, and he had one question on his mind. He addressed the priest. He said, "Father, how can I know that when I die, I will go to heaven?" That was on the mind of this young man. This is a great question for everyone, by the way. And I would ask you, do you know the answer to it? It's one of the most important questions, perhaps the most important question in all life to know the answer to. How do I know that when I die, I will go to heaven? The priest's answer to my father-in-law's question was disheartening to him. The priest told him, "Well, son, if you go to Mass and go to confession shortly before you die, in other words, there's not a lot of sins in between your last Mass and last confession and your death, and if you happen to have a priest near you right before you die as you're taking your last breath who says last rites over you, then there is a possibility that you will go to heaven." That was no comfort to my father-in-law. I don't think it would be comfort to anyone. He knew the likelihood of meeting these ritualistic requirements in a remote jungle was going to be very, very low. Well, thankfully, God has a better word for us, and we open up 1 John to hear that better word. The central idea behind the first four verses that we're going to trace today is that Jesus provides us with everything we need to be right with God. We don't need anything more than Jesus. We don't have to do anything other than what Jesus has already done for us. We don't need to add anything beside Jesus to make our lives complete, to make our souls whole. Jesus is enough. If we have Jesus, we have everything we need. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, do I have Jesus? Is your life united to Jesus Christ? If so, you have eternal life and you have a joy that's complete. If not, you don't have eternal life. The first four verses of John's letter, John tells us his personal testimony. This is the beloved disciple of Jesus, and he tells us who Jesus is and what Jesus precisely provides for us. John takes us back to the basics. He writes in the most simple of language, but he writes of the greatest mysteries, the greatest wonders that Christianity offers. He writes these basics so that we would know that Jesus Christ is enough, that we would experience genuine, authentic Christianity, a life that flows from Christ. So first, John gives a testimony regarding who Jesus is. And what John's going to tell us in his letter is the same thing he tells us in the gospel that he wrote earlier. And that is that Jesus is fully God and he is fully man. Look at verse 1 with me. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life," gives Jesus this title, the word of life, the communication from God of life, real life. Again, John uses words so simple and yet so majestic. Who is Jesus? And in this first verse, John's two main answers are, first, Jesus is fully God. He is from the beginning. And second, Jesus is fully man. We've heard him speak. We've seen him with our eyes. We've looked upon his glory, and we touched him with our very own hands. John's first priority in explaining who Jesus is an emphasis upon Jesus' deity, that he is God of very God. And he begins his letter this way. It's rather remarkable. That which was from the beginning. John begins this letter, again, very similarly to how he began the record of the gospel, the life story of Jesus in John chapter 1. In the beginning, John writes, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So in the beginning. If you go back to the beginning of everything, you'll find that the person we call Jesus is already there. He had no beginning. Because everything that had a beginning, when it had a beginning, Jesus already exists. John's letter affirms that Jesus is eternal, that he has no beginning. He is pre-existent to everything that is created. Everything that's material, all that relates to time, Jesus is before that. In Revelation, another book that John writes, John explains that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. It's not that he is the first of the beginning. He is the beginning of everything. Nothing has a beginning apart from him. The false teachers in John's day asserted that Jesus is a created being. And much of this letter is to refute or to confront this false teaching that was entering the church and infecting the worship of God's own people. And these false teachers were saying, yeah, Jesus is a created being. He is not God of very God. And so John addresses this false teaching very directly. The false teachers, by the way, had a very high view of Jesus, and that's why they were so convincing to the church, because it's not as though they denigrated him. At least they didn't sound like they were denigrating him. It sounded like they were building him up. They affirmed Jesus was really, really special. He was special like Superman is special. And John says, no, these false teachers are wrong. Don't believe them. It is not enough to believe that Jesus is a really, really, really great human being. It's not enough to believe that. There's no life that comes to a person who just simply believes that. It's not enough for a person to say that Jesus is the greatest among men. It's not enough for a person to say Jesus is the greatest prophet that ever existed. To say that Jesus is the greatest miracle worker or the greatest teacher or possesses the greatest goodness of any man. The good news from God begins with the truth that Jesus is God of very God. He is in human form, but he is God of very God. John's saying, we believe in the Jesus who is God. And that's a really, really, really important matter. The faith that joins us to Jesus rejoices in Jesus' full deity. The only way we have the blessing of eternal life is that we are united to Jesus by faith. And what kind of faith is that? Well, one distinctive matter is that this is the kind of faith that rejoices in Jesus' full deity. Yet notice that John in his gospel and this letter also teaches us the mystery that while God is one, he exists in separate persons. Look at verse 2. The life was made manifest. That's a way to declare that Christmas is real. That God the Son became incarnate. And he says, and we've seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. He says, this eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. The word of life was made visible when Jesus is born of a virgin. Prior to the incarnation, God the Son existed as God, but he was invisible to man. We couldn't see him. Now, through the incarnation, God the Son is made manifest, made visible. And this person who we call Jesus was with the Father from the beginning. He's eternal. That means he's God, and he was with the Father from the beginning. This is a profound revelation. God the Father and God the Son are two separate and distinct persons, yet each person fully God, distinct in their personhood. God reveals himself to us as a God who is one in being. The theologians say one in substance, but three in persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each distinct, each separate, and yet one. What mystery, what marvel to worship the triune God. Jesus, in relationship with God the Father from eternity past, enjoyed a fellowship as the Son with the Father in absolute unity, in absolute harmony, each person of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, devoting themselves to one another in love, again, manifesting in this oneness, this union that is a unity. The fellowship God possesses with his own being is so great, it's so sweet, that it's absolutely satisfying. God did not create the world because he lacked fellowship, because he needed something outside of himself to be complete or to be satisfied. He created the world for his glory. God is complete in himself. Well, why is this truth of Jesus' deity so important? You know, again, today in a sort of a postmodern world, we wonder, why is objective truth? Why do people sort of park so hard on these ideas that are presented in Scripture? Why are these things make distinctions and separations between those who are of God and those who are not of God? How can we do that? Why do we do that? There are two reasons, at least, and there are a number more, but I just want to think about two this morning. Why is this truth of Jesus' deity so important? Number one, Jesus' deity gives us confidence that the eternal life he offers is real. How could any human being give eternal life? They don't have eternal life in themselves, but the Son does. Life is in him. He is life. Only God can offer eternal life. And if Jesus isn't God, he couldn't offer us eternal life. That offer would be a false offer. It would not be a sure thing. It wouldn't even be a probable thing. If we are to be sure that we have eternal life, we have to be confident that the source from which we are obtaining eternal life is credible, is able to provide it for us. Because Jesus is God, his offer of eternal life is a sure thing. He is the source of life, and he doesn't lie. There is no possibility that Jesus as God is unable to deliver to us the free gift of eternal life that he offers. No possibility that he won't deliver. So that's huge. Second reason, Jesus' deity gives us confidence that we are wise to entrust our lives to him. God alone is completely trustworthy. When we surrender our lives to him, we always gain because he's trustworthy. We never lose. And so we say, it's right for me to give everything all in to Christ because he is God. My life's purpose is only going to be found in him. He's the one who created me. He's the one who designed me. He knows what purpose is. He's the one who establishes purpose. And so if I'm going to have purpose, I need to connect my life, my whole of my life, to Christ. And when I do, I don't have to fear that I'm going to lose out on something. I'm always the winner when I connect to the person who is life. So John doesn't stop with Jesus' full humanity. He also emphasizes Jesus' full deity. He also emphasizes Jesus' full humanity. Look at verse 1 again. He says in the second part of that, which we have heard, which you have seen with our eyes, which you've looked upon, which you've touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. John testifies that God's Son, who is eternal from the beginning, made himself manifest or visible in a physical body. And he says that he interacted with that incarnate Jesus with his own physical ears, with his own physical eyes, with his own physical hands. He testifies the word of life came in real human bodily form, real flesh, real blood, real bone. He's not some mystical spirit. He didn't merely seem to be human. He is human. And once again, John's refuting some of the false teaching that entered the church. And some of the false teachers said, no, he is God, but he's not fully human. He just seems to be human. He had an appearance because they couldn't get their arms around how could this be true? And admittedly, it's hard. And we can't fully understand it. The revelation from God we accept about himself, and that's what these false teachers were not doing. They're saying we have to make a way for our logic to fit with this truth, and so we're going to say he's God, but not fully man, or we'll say, yeah, he's fully man, but he's not fully God. And so John says, no, either of those errors will keep you from receiving eternal life, because real faith rejoices in Jesus' full humanity as well as his full deity. And once again, John emphasizes this both in his letter here and his gospel. In his gospel, in John 1:14, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He says that it's really important for us to acknowledge the full humanity of Jesus. He became flesh and he dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glories of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So why is it that this truth of Jesus' full humanity is so important? I kind of get his deity, but why is his full humanity, acknowledging that, so significant? Well, again, a couple reasons, and there are more than this, but a couple reasons that I would recognize today. Jesus' full humanity makes him a mediator for us, between us and God. Apart from Jesus' full humanity, he can't mediate. Paul would write, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. He can mediate between God and man because he has this side of the bridge rooted in his deity, this side of the bridge rooted in his humanity. He becomes the bridge for us, the mediator between us and God, because he's fully God, he's fully man. And as a man, Paul says, he also was able to give himself as a ransom for all. Apart from his humanity, he couldn't have died in our place. This is the testimony given in the proper time. Second reason why the truth of Jesus' full humanity is so important is that Jesus' full humanity invites us to go to him for help when we're weak and when we're in need. See, we are filled with doubts. We're filled with wondering whether this is a sure thing or not, and our assurance is going to be shaken. He says it's Jesus' full humanity that helps us grab hold of the certainty. His deity certainly helps us grab hold of the certainty of our salvation, but his humanity does as well. How is that? Here's what Hebrews would say about that. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is how assurance comes to us, by having the Jesus, the Messiah, who is fully God and fully man, and being able to go to him with our weaknesses. God, I'm wavering here. Jesus, help me.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us in Knowing Christ. You know, it is our desire and goal for this radio ministry to help you know Christ more and more. And that pursuit of knowing Christ more and more begins with faith. It begins with knowing Christ truly as we place our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So I want to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? You know, Jesus provides us with everything we need in order to be right with God. And so I'd ask you the question, are you truly right with God? Have you come to faith in Jesus Christ and received the full benefit of his death, burial, and resurrection, received his saving grace, received the life he offers? You know, it is not a simple thing to provide such salvation, but it is a simple thing to receive it. And if right now, in your own heart, you'd simply call out to God and say, God, I need you. I need a Savior. I know Jesus died for me. Please give me eternal life. God will grant you that free gift. Bless you.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org, that's knowingchrist.org, and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.